Each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The Spirit comes, a sound like the rush of violent wind. Tornado? Filling the entire house. Tongues of fire rest on each disciple, and suddenly they are gifted with extraordinary linguistic ability. Jesus tried to prepare them for this. Gathered around the table in the upper room, he'd promised another advocate, the Spirit of Truth. His promise came in the midst of his parting words, his farewell discourse, as it's called. The things he said in the upper room after the Last Supper. Make some time this week to read Jesus' farewell discourse. It's in John chapters 14 through 17. We've read snippets of it throughout Easter, and today's gospel came from this discourse as well. What we've missed in reading it this way is a sense of the whole of Jesus' last lecture, in which he attempts to quell the fears of anxious disciples, impart to them a distillation of his teachings, and prepare them for what's to come. Jesus has been their advocate and is leaving, but he assures them there's no need for anxiety. The Father will give you another advocate, the Spirit of Truth. This Spirit, Jesus told them, would do three things. She would teach them, remind them of all Jesus had said, and testify on his behalf. More important than the manner of the Spirit's arrival was what Jesus said next. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. You also are to testify. And that's what they did. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and said, "Judeans and all from Jerusalem, listen." And then he shared the good news of Jesus Christ. And what happened when he did is far more significant than the wind or the fire or the disciples' linguistic gifting. For when Peter stood to testify, each one heard in the native language of each. Father Bill Doggett, an Episcopal priest in Maryland, puts it this way. Everyone heard the good news in words they were able to understand. Everyone heard the good news in words they were able to understand. Today, it's possible to miss how extraordinary this is. Christianity has spread throughout a lot of the world, and the Bible's been translated into over 2,000 languages. More people than ever can read God's word in their native language. And yet, friends, we are surrounded by people who have yet to hear the good news in words they can understand. Last weekend at Pride, I met people who'd heard plenty about the church and about Jesus, but who had never heard the good news in words they could understand. I hope and pray that our banner proclaiming God thinks you're fabulous did something to remedy that. You can get it on a t-shirt outside the service today. At least half of our wayfarers who came to class last year had spent years in Sunday school and church without ever having heard the good news in words they could understand. Many described walking away from Christianity wounded, with no expectation of return. Thank God they came to us. The Pew Research Center recently reported that nuns N-O-N-E-S, those who, when asked to fill out paperwork, check the box under religious affiliation with none, account for 23% of the adults in the United States. How can this be when the church has been commissioned by Jesus to testify to his love? For starters, I'm concerned that if we testify at all, we're telling the wrong story. What we say goes something like this. If you want to be a good Christian, if you want to end up in the good place, don't make mistakes. Don't sin. Far too often we leave folks with the impression that walking with Christ is like walking across a floor made out of 2x4s separated by gaping holes into which we could fall into the pit of hell at any moment. Too often, the gospel we share sounds like Mad-Eye Moody's refrain, constant vigilance. If you've ever fallen into the hands of such an evangelist as I have, I suspect you want nothing to do with sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Is it any wonder we feel unequipped to go out and testify on Jesus' behalf? Is it any wonder that we opt instead for serving inside the safety of these walls? We would all do well to learn from the Samaritan woman who encountered Jesus at a well and ran to her community, proclaiming, "Come and see a man who's told me everything I've ever done." We too should share the simple fact that Jesus knows everything we've ever done, every shameful detail of our lives, and nonetheless gives us living water and calls us to abundant and joyful life. Jesus said to his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and in to the ends of the earth." And the disciples received the Spirit on Pentecost and took Jesus' commission up to go out and proclaim the good news. The Acts of the Apostles catalogs story after story of people going out in witness to Christ's love. Immediately after the scene we read today, the disciples go out and lead 3,000 people to accept the gospel. Philip goes out to Samaria to the Ethiopian eunuch. Peter goes out to Cornelius. Ananias goes out to Paul, who then goes with Barnabas to Seleucia, to Philippi, and there they go out to Lydia, and so forth and so on. Over and over, the apostles, the sent ones, share stories of their encounters with Christ, conveying the good news in words people can understand. And they draw thousands upon thousands into relationship with the God of love. Brothers and sisters, we are today's apostles, today's sent ones. In our baptism, we received the power of the Spirit and heard Jesus say, "You also are to testify because you have been with me." God longs for us to accept this commission. We can protest that we don't know how, but it really isn't difficult. All we have to do is follow the example of the apostles. They didn't have a script. They didn't take a class on evangelism. They didn't memorize the New Testament chapter and verse. It wasn't even written yet. They told their stories. Stories of encountering Jesus, who revealed to them through his words, his actions, his love, that God, the maker of all that is, seen and unseen, loved them so much that he gave his life for them and for all. They sensed that somehow in Jesus rising from death, they too were raised up, and they shared this with others. They understood that the Spirit, despite the strange and stupefying way she arrived that day, danced into their lives and changed everything for the better. And they shared this with people. We are called to do the same. To follow this call, we must reflect, as the apostles surely had, on our own relationship with Jesus and how we have been transformed by his love. Peter left a life of catching fish for a life of catching people. Matthew left tax collecting for a life of collecting lost souls. As I reflected this week, I realized I left counseling people to mitigate risk for a life of encouraging people to risk everything. Each of us has a story like that, a story of encountering Jesus and finding in that encounter God's great big love. So let us reflect on the ways in which we have danced with Jesus and been wrapped in the arms of the God of love. Because, friends, we have been sent out of this place and into the world to testify to the God of love. And all God's people said,